existent.
I'm in a continual, permanent, protracted, unending mood. I'm persistent.
Welcome, everybody out there in Cigar and Spirits land, and welcome to the Battle of the Empire. We have King Longshanks versus
William Wallace.
So, sticking with our mixing up the spirits, we're going to do a just good old Glenlivet 12, just a standard. We haven't done a Glenlivet in
ever.
So it's our first time. So we're going to do that, but we're going to do a Cotswold single malt sherried
whiskey.
If you made this in Scotland, it would be a Scotch.
Yep,
but it wasn't. It was made in England,
so it's not.
So it's part of the Empire.
Yes.
So it's a whiskey. And we're going to do that with a special cigar. It is a special cigar.
Absolutely.
We haven't done a Cuban in a long time. So what are we doing, Austin?
Hoy de Monterey, Rio Seco from Cuba. And we have our good friend Mike decide to join us.
We were able
to pull him out of the cave and have him join us today.
Because Austin and I lost our brain cells. We need some brains on our outfits. We brought Mike back.
We love hanging out with our friends.
Oh, God. They made a mistake.
But he's got a good palate.
Wouldn't be a first time.
We have three brain cells.
And together, between the three of us, we can make you make two brain cells.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I got to be honest with this pairing. It's a little lopsided.
It is, because originally, so let's get into it. The Cotswold, when I first priced it, unfortunately, I was pricing just the baseline intro Cotswold, which is about $70 to $79 a bottle. The sherry, I was online last night. The cheapest I can find it is $99.99, and I can find it for about $160. I was lucky enough to get it from a website, and I bought it for $129.99.
Yeah. So, and the Glenlivet's $40.
Yeah.
This is the standard entry level 12-year-old Glenlivet, and it's not finished in anything except, I mean, American and European wood. So they start out aging it in European oak. But it's standard European oak charred, and then they switch it over to American oak charred, but not bourbon, not sherry. So that's why I'm saying it's slightly lopsided, because of that sherry finish is going to give it the Cotswold, a whole different.
It's different flavor, flavors. But how many times with a cigar, sometimes the sherry didn't go well, you needed more tannin.
Yeah.
So Rio Seco's, Oil of Monterey tend to be light to medium body cigars. They're not heavy in your face.
Yeah.
So here's your experiment. Does oak go better with a light to medium body cigar, or does sherry go better?
Yeah. Right? And that's, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, I know. Hey, what I say is right. Because it's my taste buds.
Not in your house,
I'm
it
right,
isn't.
You know,
what your wife says is right.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am.
So this literally is the Empire.
It's the Empire.
Versus the North.
Yes.
Yeah.
William Wallace
strong.
It's the British Empire.
Yes.
Scots versus the Wales. Yeah.
Wales.
Wales.
No.
Yeah. Scotland. Whatever.
Cotswold is not in Wales.
It's not in Wales. No, it's not.
It's not.
Every Welsh person just. Oh, I know. Jumped out of them.
We always say about. I always say about
they
the
just
Irish.
They just hit. Stop.
We're I always done. Say that about the Irish too. I'm like, yeah, they're part of the Empire. No, we're not. God damn it.
No, they're not. That's why our numbers in Ireland have been falling lately. You don't want to give them their respect.
They've all been fighting the kingdom for how many years now?
Oh, man.
Fighting the monarchy.
Yeah.
The monarchy.
So, enough of the talking. Let's get into it. Glenlivet.
What are we getting into? Livet.
Color.
Gold.
Yeah, it's polished gold,
Stay golden, pony boy, stay golden.
And gold. Its legs are medium and
who cares what
fast.
The legs are, because the legs don't mean shit.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
They're pretty to
so
watch.
What, no, seriously. Okay. I mean,
age.
No. Yeah. No, it's anytime we do legs, it makes nothing to the flavor. It's like I've seen.
No,
them,
it doesn't do anything to flavor.
That's my whole point.
But
that's
it helps you grade that. Okay, is it older? Is it younger? Is it higher tanning? Lower tanning?
It all boils down to flavor.
Yeah.
You drink it for the flavor.
Okay, so when you look at your wine, you start staring at it for hours and hours. Did that change the flavor?
No.
Okay. Then.
But by staring at it hours and hours, it's letting it oxidize and open the flavor.
And yes.
Well, so does my whiskey. It's oxidizing. See?
So, I mean, that's the thing. We do the legs on this, and honestly, it's like I don't care, because I've never been able to equate, thick and slow to this flavor or that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my point. And I'm wrong in a way. I know I am, but it's just in my mind. It's like, I don't care.
Well, when you're doing the blind, you're trying to figure out which one's older, which one's higher proof.
Yes. If you're doing a
more
blind
tannic,
one,
blah, blah, blah.
There you go. If you're doing a blind one and you want to figure out proofing, if you can, versus just shake the bottle, you can figure out proofing by shaking the bottle and watching the bubbles
you
dissipate.
You shake with your two hands like that?
Yeah, shake the bottle and watch your
Austin's
bubbles.
Austin's doing the shake weight.
I look at it from the leg standpoint just to see just, you know, kind of generalize how oily the mouth is going to be on this, just for me, just to kind of, it's kind of like a pre-guess, like kind of shaking your present before you open it at Christmas Day. It's kind of like, ooh, what am I about to get into?
Yeah, is it oily? Is it not oily? Yeah. Is it old? Yeah. Is it
like this? Yeah. I mean, they're just hanging out and they're super slow and this, that, and the other. And I know this is not an oily.
No, see, mine's not that slow.
The assessment is the foreplay it's before
medium,
you get into the whiskey.
And it comes down medium speed.
Yeah, but on this glass, see, once again,
well, your glass is dirty.
And that's your glass. This is from your cabinet. Right,
I gave you a dirty glass. Mouth, yeah, let's drink this already, will you? Oh, did you smell it? What's in the nose? Mm.
Tropical fruits.
Boy. Yeah, pineapple.
If 80 proof, it's got alcohol burn.
It does. And then
it
grainy.
Is
very
warmer
grainy.
Than I would expect, yes.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, but for 80 proof, you expect it. It's not going to burn your nose off, and it's got a burn to it.
Now, honestly, this has been open for, 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Both of these bottles were freshly opened for this podcast.
Absolutely.
So it's not as hot as what it was when we first opened it. It's kind of died.
So it's got a decent, nice, soft finish to it.
Yeah.
Hangs out on the tongue. It's less of a, it's not like the Kentucky hug down the esophagus, but it's more on the tongue. Mm-mm. It's got this little alcohol finish on the tongue. But yeah, it's very grainy on the base and then tropical fruits. I'm finding pineapple as well. It's fairly simple.
The fruit hangs out on the back of the palate. The heat or the hug kind of dies off pretty quickly.
And then just to me, the finish, I'm getting soft oak.
A little soft oak
on the finish, on the back. Yep. But not a tannic, just real soft.
I've got a little tannic oak, but you can tell it's oak.
Yeah, soft oaky. On the side of the tongues for me. I'm getting just a little soft oak.
Hence. But everything's very soft, but look, for $40, you want a scotch on a hot summer day?
And I think this would be a great entry level for somebody wanting to get into scotch and they're afraid of peat.
Exactly.
Yeah, he has no peat.
There's
no peat.
None at all.
All right, get a little water. Let's go to Cotswold. It's a nose. Well, look at the color. It looks like a bourbon.
Yes, it does.
Copper.
Almost copper amberish, huh? Mm. Its legs just to piss Austin off.
No. <it's> like...
So that's a little bit much slower. Slow. About the same thickness, though.
Yeah.
That's even thicker. Thicker and slower. Nose. Oh. Boy, it's
syrupy and sweet.
You're syrupy sweet. It's sherry, stone fruit.
Sherry, yeah.
But it is maple. It's almost like maple syrup on the nose, too, though.
Warm maple syrup, I'll give you that.
And this one's 57.4 proof, and the nose is less hot than a Glenlivet on my nose.
I don't know. If I pull it in, it...
Yeah, if you pull hard, but...
No, it's going to bite you.
Yeah, it does. It bites. You can pick up the proofing on that.
But it's also a little grain on the back end.
Yeah, but you could, I think blindfolded, you'd know this is a sherry finished.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Sherry's just going, hello.
From across the table.
No, she's not, she's screaming. She's not saying hello. She's like, hey.
Exactly.
No, it's sherry.
This is a high class lady across the pub yelling at you.
Yeah.
And her name is Sherry.
And everyone knows. Yeah, but it's
everybody
so
everybody knows Sherry at the end of the bar. Everybody knows Sherry.
But man, that's good.
So what you getting on their flavors?
The funny thing is I do get a little bit of maple syrup on it.
Absolutely.
It is syrupy.
Oily coating. Sherry, stone fruit. I mean, it's cherry, plum. Still grainy, though. You can tell it's oats, it's malt, because you still get the malt on it.
You're spot on with that maple syrup.
It's
a little bit on the nose. It's even more on the palate.
I know.
Yeah. And what attracts me is more so is the way it coats the mouth in the back of the palate.
It's viscous.
And that fruit just kind of holds in with that flavor profile.
You like the mouthfeel?
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go get
you. Know me.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, look, I'm licking my, because it's still like on your teeth. It just coats your entire mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's oily.
It is oily and syrupy. Even more than just oily. It's got that almost sugar syrupiness to it.
That's good stuff.
That is really, wow.
I'm pleasantly surprised. I've never had this Cotswold sherry, but
no. I've never heard of it, period.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I've never heard of Cotswold. I mean, obviously the Cotswold, but not of the distillery.
I've seen it, but, you know, I guess I've been slightly biased. Just like, you know, English whiskey.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, and the more I kept reading about it.
Wasn't open-minded at the time for that.
And it's not cheap. I mean, it goes anywhere from $100 to $169 bottle. And if you don't, English whiskey, like, it's scotch, but it ain't scotch.
No, it's whiskey.
It's whiskey.
Yeah.
But if it was distilled in Scotland, it meets every criteria to be a scotch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and you're like, man, English whiskey, $150.
Yeah, that's a commitment. That's a commitment.
When I, well, as soon as I tasted it this morning, I'm like, yeah, worth every freaking penny so far.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah.
It's really different.
It's all, it kind of almost goes with that Abalura Amunah, right?
It's
high proof, high sherry, but this is more
syrupy, though.
Syrupy. It is more syrupy.
Yeah.
And I think more burnt caramel, there's almost bourbon-esque, right?
There's a heavier sweetness to this than there is with the Abalura.
It's that syrupiness and that viscosity. It's even more viscous and more mouthy than that. And, you know, if I didn't know any better, you'd almost think they added some sugar to this.
Yeah.
Almost a concentrate. Type.
Nothing's added and unfiltered.
Yeah.
No chill filtering. Either.
Totally, totally. But you'd almost think it's that sweet. It is that thick and syrupy. That's impressive.
So it's taken me to, it's almost taken to me like a rum sweetness, but it's not.
Right.
But it's coating my mouth the same way.
The viscosity of a sweet rum, like a Diplomático 12. It's got that viscosity, that syrupiness. Obviously, it doesn't have the same flavors, but you're absolutely right. It's sugary.
So far as the winner so far.
Oh. Yeah.
As these gentlemen light up, big shout out to our sponsors, The Original Bourbon Club. Check them out on theoriginalbourbonclub.com. You can join in the website. You can start your own chapter. Again,
hey, start your own podcast too.
No, we don't need any more competition. quarterly tastings, great networking. We've enjoyed being part of them. God, going on 7 years now.
Yeah, we've been part of that club for
a long time.
Yeah,
and we thank you for their sponsorship.
100%. And check us out on Facebook, Instagram at Cigars and Spirits Podcast. Also, our email is cigarsandspiritspodcast@gmail.com. So be sure to check us out from there. Oh, I've been wanting a Rio Seco for a while.
Yeah.
I've been wanting this for a while.
It's just a good stick.
Yes. It's been a long time since I've had one.
So for a Cuban, this is a large format. It's a 56 format.
By 5.5.
5.5.
And for our European friends, 140 millimeter. Yep. So actually, this cigar was launched in 2016, and it was the largest cigar ring gauge in the Cuban lineup until Cohiba came out with their Bahique 56. Prior to that, it was the largest. Prior to that, the Juan. The from Hoya de Mon.
I know what you're talking about. I know.
Anyways, that was a 54 ring gauge, the one prior to this.
Yeah, San Juan.
San Juan.
That was a 54. That was their first foray into the big stick to keep up with the demand.
And the Cubans, period. That was the largest. And then they came out with the 56 just to up it even further. San Juan. Sorry, everybody. Had a brain fart.
Me too. I'm like, wine. Well, I'm like, yeah, it's the real stick. Now the Monterey San Juan.
Yeah. So these
I was not a big fan of.
It was really light.
Yeah.
This one, they've added a lot more oomph to it. I think, you know, they just a lot more Media.
Tempo.
More
Lajero.
Lajero.
There you go. He'll get it out sooner or later.
Oh, my God. My brain just suddenly locked up. So, anyways, but yeah, Cohiba Bahique 56 was launched a few years later. So, this was the largest for a while, just like the 54 of the San Juan. So, that's just the Cuban Habanos trying to get into the larger ring gauge to keep up with global demand.
Yeah, because, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s, everybody started going to these big ring gauges.
Today's pricing, if you can get them, they're about $30.50 a stick.
Which is stupid. We used to get these for $15 to $16. That was 2-3 years ago. Pre-COVID, it was $14. Post-COVID, they were still $15-$16, but no one had them because, like everybody else, during COVID, everybody was out. Yeah, last night I actually went online, looked for it, $39.50.
Wow.
Well,
per stick?
Certain places I get them from, you can buy a box of 10 for $300.
Yeah. $305.
So, one of the same places that we always get from, which their pricing is spot on. It's retails what it's supposed to be, and they're $305 a box of 10.
On the spot, would you buy it for $40 a stick?
No. No. I love them, not $40 a stick. Nope.
Well, good thing they're $30 a stick, so we still buy them.
What a price of all the cigars have gone up, but the Cubans have gone up exponentially compared to everybody else.
Yeah, those communists want to be capitalists, but they want to keep all the money for themselves.
So you think they added more tobacco to it to kind of go in line with the way sticks are being made?
Yes.
Over,
Yeah, they went with that ring gauge because of, you know, the non-Cubans are just been pushing the sizes, pushing the size. As you know, you've been smoking for a long time, and they've gotten bigger and bigger, bigger ring gauges, and they finally said, you know what, we need to step up our game a little bit. And that's so Habanos was like, let's do this, let's do that. And they
it comes to a point though where it's not enjoyable anymore. Yeah. I mean,
this is it for me. Yeah. After I'm usually like a 50 to 54 ring gauge guy.
Yeah.
56 is kind of pushing. After that, no thanks.
I love a Lancero, man.
Yeah.
I don't understand the big, why you have to have the biggest. I mean, I'm not like Baby Huey with a big.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You don't want a big thing in your mouth, right?
Yeah, you and I are on the same page. I'm a massive, unfortunately Americans aren't, and that's why we see so few Lanceros being produced. Foundation does, and they do some really nice ones. Fuente used to do some Lanceros, and they're not even doing those much anymore. They're just do a little bit here and there for certain markets. Padron, same thing. Yeah. They're pretty much not doing them anymore because Americans don't smoke Lanceros. I'm with you. I love a Lancero, especially non-Cuban Lanceros, because as we've discussed at nauseum, the non-Cubans really do a great job on their wrappers and imparting flavors, where the Cubans wrappers don't impart a lot of flavor.
They're more enjoyable and like less tobacco.
Yeah.
Like up in your face from the start.
Yeah. And to me, they can really engineer a Lancero nicely with that wrapper because it profiles so much of that wrapper flavor, and they can sit there and really engineer them nicely.
Yeah. Maybe we need to throw that in a Lancero episode.
Yeah, well, we haven't done a Lancero in a while.
Yes,
and every time we do it, like, God, we need to do these more often.
They're hard to find.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Even my father has done a Lancero, and I haven't seen those in ages. They had a Lancero line, two different wrapper Lanceros. They had a Bono wrapper, and they had a Connecticut Shade wrapper Lancero, which was really nice, delicate, just beautiful. Had that nice minerality from the filler from the Nicaraguan tobaccos, and then they had that Connecticut Shade that just... It was a beautiful little stick.
Enough talking. What are you getting on your cigar?
Oh, nothing yet.
The pregame for me was pulling through was cedar. Earthy and cedar.
Yeah, and the first half inch of the cigar is always, me, very woody. And if you pull on it kind of hard, it gets a little bitey. But it's just woody. And then it changes.
Extremely pleasant. It's not bitter. It's a lovely smoke.
So mine's probably going to be a little different than Mike's and George's, because mine came out of a tubo, which is wrapped in cedar inside, and it's been in this tubo sealed for a very long time. So I'm getting heavy cedar right now.
See, man, mine's not.
heavy cedar.
A little bit. It's pleasant.
Yeah, so Mike's and I came out of mine sitting in the box that they came in. I had literally three left in the box. So it's sitting on a cedar wood box, but it's not wrapped in cedar.
Yeah, mine is heavy cedar. Really cedar tannic. Followed by light coffee, a little bit of nuttiness, typical Oyo nuttiness that we get. No floral. No floral at all. Yeah, but I've never found floral in these Rios. I've never had it.
They used to have just a hint of it, but it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't like the Epicure 2s and Epicure 1s.
Yeah, back in the day.
So let's see what Glenlivet has to say with this. Take a little puff.
Who put water in my Glenlivet?
Boy, it watered. It watered down, but it made it sweet, didn't it?
Yeah, sweetness came up.
It made the Glenlivet sweet, but it's like sugar water.
Yeah, as tannic as my cigar is with the cedar.
Wow.
Yeah, it just like...
The tropical fruit just...
Gone.
No, I can't even barely find it.
It literally,
it's back of the palate in the corners.
It's
a little bit there.
There, but you got to find it.
Yeah.
Everything just, like I said, who put water?
It's like sugar water. It's sweet water.
Yeah. A little bit of graininess. A little bit of graininess coming through, but I'm not surprised, actually, at this point. Really not surprised.
Get some water, see what Cotswold has to say. Yeah, I knew Glenlivet was light, but I was hoping the real Sick would be very light and the Glenlivet can hold up.
This would be better with a San Juan. The Glenlivet would be better San Juan, because that is a light cigar. Even though with that 54 ring gauge, it's very light.
Dora, Epicure number one.
Hey, now I can remember San Juan.
Yeah. All right. Take a puff. Let's see what Cotswold has to say.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Oh, yeah. It's holding up beautifully.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
It holds up really nice.
Brings up the tannin, though, doesn't it?
It does.
The tannin in the Cotswold. Yeah, you're pulling out that the oak.
The sweetness dies down for sure.
Mm-hmm. But boy, because it wasn't that tannic on its own.
No, it was not. It was more syrupy and oily.
The stick brings up the oak tannin. The
it does.
Big
it brings
time.
Out
pulling out oak.
Shit ton of
big
oak.
Time.
Mm. Yeah, it really brings down the sherry. So if you're not a sherry lover with the stick, sherry's there. Mm. But nowhere was as bold as it was on its own.
Well, it quells the sherry sweetness, so it's pulling more of the sherry flavors out outside of that sweetness of sherry.
Get it's
more
almost like a black cherry now instead of just that sweet.
Tell me those red orchard fruits type, just like a medley
of fruits.
Oh, red fruits, yeah. But man, that's good.
That oak tannin just.
I like the oak tannin pulling out. It was almost on its own, almost a little from what I'm used to on a whiskey, almost a little too sweet just for my palate. But
What about you, Mike? Like it better on its own or with the stick?
Right now, I'd like the Cotswold better on its own, just because I like the pleasure point for me with the Cotswold was the oiliness.
Yeah.
That fruits that covered the palate and they hung around. You get to enjoy it while you're having a conversation. But with the stick, it just goes away. It brings out more, as you said, the wood and the tannin.
It tastes more like a whiskey now. See, before to me, it almost tasted like an after-dinner drink. It was that thick and sweet.
Almost like an aperitif,
Yeah, an after-dinner dessert drink. It was almost, to me, that thick and stuff, and now it tastes like a whiskey.
It tastes like an ultra-aged whiskey.
Now it's like a whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It tastes like
I like that.
Like it tastes 16, like a greater 18 than 16. Year,
yeah, yeah,
look,
yeah.
I liked it on its own, but to me, like I said, it's almost an after-dinner drink. It's that heavy and syrupy and sweet, and now it's like, now it's a whiskey.
See, me, I liked it better on its own because I love that oily, because it's hard to find a whiskey or a bourbon that's that oily mouth coating,
very few. Yeah, you got like on a bourbons, you got to get into some of those antique collections to get that heavy oiliness and stuff. You're right, that's a rarity, and it's beautiful on its own, but now it's a whiskey.
It is. So we'll be back for that second third.
And we're back for the second third of the Hoy de Monterey Rio Seco.
It's not that dry. The river's not that dry.
I hope my cigar's not dry. Is that what Seco is? Dry?
Dry.
Oh, okay.
Seco. Real Seco.
Okay. Dry river.
Dry river.
Interesting. I wonder why they called it that. I never could find it.
You ever seen the Rio Grande in Texas?
Well,
first time I saw the Rio Grande, I'm like, it's not that grand. No. It's like a creek.
Yes.
It was during one of the droughts. I'm like, this is a canal. You call this a river? Come to Louisiana. I'll show you a freaking river.
Yeah. We'll show you a river. We got some rivers. No doubt about it. So what you guys getting on the cigar at this point? We're into the second, third, obviously.
I was saying, boy, it changed a little bit. They're simple flavors. It is coffee and nuts, but so well put together. Just blended very well.
But, I mean, so it was heavy cedar for me at the beginning. Now it's light coffee. Nuts. I mean, that cedar is still there, but it's blending well with that coffee flavor and the nuts.
Yeah, and I was finding the same thing. I had the mine up front was heavy cedar. It was almost all cedar, and that was overpowering everything else. Now that cedar is moved to the back, which I like. I do like that cedar. Enjoy it at the end. And you're right. You guys are right. It's so well blended, balanced, and I'm getting the light. Just wonderful coffee and some nuttiness, and then it followed by the cedar. Yeah. So not, like you said, not really complicated, but perfect.
But perfect. Yeah. Balanced. It's very balanced.
Yeah. Balanced.
Simple flavors, but balanced. And if you like coffee and nuts.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. You think about all the cigars we liked, and what's the common denominator? Balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's so many out there. Unfortunately, they're trying to do something here and there, and they're all over the place. And I just want a good balanced cigar.
Yes, what we would say. I mean, how many times you get a cigar that's, oh man, it's full flavored. Yeah, it's got a lot of flavor, but boom, I get coffee, and boom, then I get leather, and boom, I get this, and I'm like, and it's just all separated.
It's all over the place.
You know, it's like lots of times on his podcast.
It's like ADD, man. Didn't know what it wants to do.
On his podcast, lots of times we had a spirit with the cigar, and the cigar separated the spirit completely. And like, I'm tasting three different flavors all separated, and you're like, not that good, right?
And
same thing with cigar.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, that's what I think all of us are looking for is balance. Balance in the spirit, balance in the cigar, balance with the cigar and the spirit to where everything's balanced and working well together.
Balance in life.
It's like a nice orchestra.
Yeah, I agree.
There you go.
You know, you take a high school orchestra versus like the Philharmonic. And, you know, we want the Philharmonic where everything's balanced versus that high school one. That's a lot of other certain spirits, certain cigars. It's like, woo. You can hear that too, but just way the fuck off. It's like, oh, ouch.
We all want balance in life. It's the yin and the yang.
The yang and the yang.
Danielson, balance no good, karate no good. Must learn balance.
Must learn balance.
So with this, we're going to go yep. Glenn.
Glenn.
Yeah, actually, let me talk about Glenlivet first before we do that tasting. So, Glenlivet.
I want to taste.
No. Well, you can taste while I'm
well,
talking.
He's talking.
I'm talking.
Yeah, talking. Guess yeah. what? Glenlivet is the original. It is the original. It was the first distillery. Now it's in Speyside. So Livet is the Livet Valley. So Glen meaning valley, basically. So Glenlivet, and it's in the Livet Valley. And it was originally started by George Smith. And he got shot at. He got burned down. He got beat up because there were so many moonshiners. Let's
really?
Just say illicit distilleries everywhere. And he went and decided, you know what? I'm going to go become legit. So he filed all the paperwork and set up the very first distillery in 1824. And so he was the original. And what we're drinking here right now, this is the original. He started out with, obviously, European oak casks. And then a little bit later, they started importing the American casks because the bourbon craze started kind of dying down and he was able to get more, you know, bourbon or I should say American oak casks. So this really is kind of the original Scotch. Mm. And, you know, that's if you want to get in deeper, you can get in a lot deeper, but that's kind of it. And they've been around. This year is their 200th anniversary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yep. So 2024 is 200th anniversary. So we should all roll over there because they're doing a bunch of special stuff this year. It's open to the public. They're having a bunch of different things you can go to that they're doing for their 200th anniversary.
And this is a double oaked? What is this one?
No, well, yeah, it's a European yeah. oak.
Okay.
It's a European oak followed by American oak.
And they don't say how many years in either one of them, or no?
This is 12 years. They don't say. They don't say they how long they're aging each one in. Nope, absolutely not.
Well.
And you know that's going to be a variable based on
flavor.
That's
going to
be a variable based on flavors.
Exactly. Outside of particulars on dates, this is working really well together now.
I know. While he was talking,
The fruits have come back since the cedar has died down. You're getting a nice fruity coffee. Now, when we're talking coffee, I'm getting a light-bodied coffee, you know.
In the cigar?
In the cigar, yeah. It's like either a blonde or like a light Guatemalan, whichever you're.
I like
if you're a coffee fan.
I like a blonde Guatemalan.
Well, if you go to Starbucks,
especially
you get the
light
blonde, right?
Blonde Guatemalan.
Hey, don't stop bringing color into it.
You don't want that heavy blonde.
But that coffee with this fruity whiskey, though. It's just
it's nice.
Going really well together.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with the cigar with that tannin now on the back end of the cigar. The Glenlivet's come back. Mm. And you're right, though. Those tropical fruit notes, the pineapple, the graininess is there. But I do notice that initially the alcohol feel, and I won't call it a burn because it's still very light on this being an 80 proof, but that's subsided. It's really allowing a lot of those tropical fruits
Absolutely.
To come through.
No, look, I'm going to say ditto. It has no finish at all on it as far as alcohol burn.
Yeah, no.
Hug, it's gone. But it's like fruity coffee.
It's nice. It's lovely.
On a hot summer day, you want to have a scotch and a cigar.
This would be a really
good. Man, you can drink this in 100-degree temperature and go, this is nice.
Absolutely.
It doesn't bowl you over if you like the flavors of coffee and fruit. But that's very nice.
I could see myself on the beach doing both of these.
Right? And not keeling over in a pile of sweat because, oh my God, it's too much of everything.
Not barfing.
All right, so he came back. Let's see what Cotswold has to say. Take a puff.
Cheers to the Empire.
I'm going
to
do some water. I had to do some water because I got to tell you, those fruit flavors that Glenlivet were just hanging out and hanging out and hanging out.
Oh, that's good. I'll do one more puff, one more sip. Its alcohol has come back big time.
Oh, the oiliness has come back.
Big time.
That is just...
So it's sherry creme brulee. I mean, for me, because it's got that creme brulee coating of the tongue, the egg custard coating of the tongue because the oily is back.
That fattiness.
But it's still that... It's just almost like a burnt caramel, burnt creme brulee with the sherry and the coffee.
Yeah, it's there is a fattiness, but it's more towards a cream or a butter fattiness, not a meat fattiness.
No,
but there is you're right.
It's like a custard, like a creme
brulee. And you said this was unfiltered, correct?
Unchilled, unfiltered, yeah.
Yeah, there is a slight, like a cream fattiness. Yeah, it doesn't taste like creme brulee, but it's got that sensation. You're right, that fattiness of a creme brulee that coats the tongue and Whoa. That, you know what?
And the alcohol's back, too.
The
God
whiskey.
Save the queen. I mean, they these people have done a
the
phenomenal.
King. The queen's dead. It's the king now.
That's why I said God save the queen.
Ooh.
Ouch. Well, we just lost the English market.
No, I don't think so. I think they're missing their queen.
Whiskey is taking the front seat. It has kicked the cigar into the back seat, almost into the trunk, and said, come along.
Yeah. No, you're right. But the cigar does give that coffee to go with that.
It does. It comes back. But, I mean, the oiliness and that sherry fruitiness is just, it's raging.
It's, to me, it's almost a coffee and a dessert.
Yeah.
It's like coffee and almost an after dinner dessert drink.
It's freaking delicious.
It's beautiful. This is a good combo. This is a really good combo.
Well, the Glenlivet is a good combo. Totally different.
Yeah. Two different reasons, right?
Yeah. And they're both affecting the cigar differently.
Absolutely.
But neither one of them messed with your cigar.
No.
Did they make the cigar bad?
No.
Which is faux pas, right?
Yeah.
Especially at $30 to $40 a stick.
Don't mess with
you
my
don't
cigar.
Screw with the cigar, right? But, man, that's damn yummy, that is. We'll be back for that final third. And we're back for the final third of this cigar and these two beautiful spirits. So, let's talk a little bit about Cotswold. We've never done this before. So, it started back in 2014, very new. And you're going to love this. So a guy named Dan Zors, S-Z-O-R. Guess where he came from, Austin?
Czechoslovakia.
It's close. New York.
Oh.
As they say, he was a whiskey connoisseur, and he actually moved to Cotswold, built a house there. He worked in finance in London, and you know, every time I go home to see his family in Cotswold, he's looking at all the beautiful farms around there and going, you know, a lot of people growing barley around here and no distillery around here. Huh. Henceforth, he built his own distillery, right? So in 2014, he bought this old warehouse, opened a Cotswold distillery, two copper pot stills. In 2014, started doing gin because you have to make money. And in 3 years, October 17, he released Cotswold single malt whiskey, first whiskey ever be distilled in Cotswold. So,
yeah, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I was there last year in September and ratted around the Cotswold, did a shit ton of bar hopping. Never saw whiskey or anything from the region.
Only one.
But beer. My God. I must have had at least 15 different beer companies, you know, different flavors and stuff from beer. That was everywhere because I think the barley and stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't even see any whiskey from the region.
All the barley.
And they were not aware of any whiskey from the region because I was kind of asking around. And
really? No one knew about it? Well, it's new. It's 2014.
Yeah.
So, and he does source all his barley from the Cotswold area. All the farmers there. So it's all locally sourced. So he's got, like I said, two copper pot stills. They came out with the Cotswold Sherry Cask. He says a marriage of Cotswold single malt whiskeys, fully matured in American and Spanish oak hogshead and butts, seasoned with Oloroso and Pedro Jimenez sherries. Again, 100% locally grown barley from Cotswold. They do traditional floor malting at Warmaster's British oldest working malting area. The barley is then mashed and fermented for about 90 hours and then distilled twice. They only use the hearts. You know, a lot of times they do mix a little bit of heads and tails in it. They only use the hearts in their whiskeys. And like I said, they don't just finish it in sherry. They say they mature it in sherry for how many years? I don't know.
Yeah.
No age statements. I can't really tell you.
What's really interesting is, you know, you get so many spirits that do things like this, different, you know, finishes and stuff. What I'm finding on this is it really is showing what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, because you got two different sherries, and you can pick that up because, you know, it's almost like a tawny versus ruby port. Some are, you know, the rubies are more thick and syrupy, and the tawnies are a little more tannic and stuff. And same thing on these two different sherries. And even more so when you're talking about the butts and all, the smaller casks, it's really pulling it out. And you're picking up a more complex sherry type flavor than you do. Like, let's just use Macallan.
Yeah.
Kind of the original sherry finishers. And it's you got the sherry, but it's a very linear and simple sherry, where this is much more complex.
Yeah, now boy.
So it's actually showing what he's doing, which I applaud, because that's a rarity. You think, oh, we finished in bourbon cask and this, and you're like, did you really? Are you sure? Because you don't find a lot of that time.
And it's funny you mentioned that's a perfect lead, and we didn't actually practice that, but it's a perfect lead in, because when I tasted this last night, I'm like, man, this is really complex sherry. So I went to four different websites. And the best thing I found, like they said here, basically each year the batch of sherry is unique. Each year is going to be a little bit different. Again, it's American oak, which is ex-bourbon barrels, and Spanish oak hogsheads and butts. Then some were seasoned in dry Oloroso sherry, and others seasoned with Pedro Ximenez, yeah, which is not dry. It's more sweet.
Exactly.
And then they blend those together, and what it they do is up. Freaking beautiful.
That's the beauty. It's actually, you can taste it. It shows up. What he's doing is being expressed.
And again, non-chill filter, no color adding, no flavor adding. And it's always released at 57.4% this year. And amen, man. Look, yep, he made a damn good spirit.
Hey, he knocked this out of the park.
It's good.
At this point in time, it's very much mirroring a very special scotch in my mind. And it's pretty much at the same proof. And you made reference to it earlier.
Which scotch is that?
Yeah, which scotch?
The Abelur Abundant.
Yeah, I'm going to know. That one is
is a little bit different.
To me, the sherry on that is more linear and simple because they're, with the combination of the dry and sweet sherries.
There's more sweet to this than there is the other.
Yeah. But you're also getting the dry, the tannic sherry, but then you're getting the sweet sherry. Mm-hmm. You're getting both out of this.
Because, you know, I'm a fan of the Arbor Ramona.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. But, man, this one, I think this is more refined than that one. Mm.
It's high praise.
And they're about the same price. Yeah. This one's maybe a little bit more
different. This Lisa Dobler, you're still getting a good scotch base. There's still a little peat, just a shade of peat.
Yeah,
it's
a hint of peat. Yeah.
But which tells you I'm a scotch.
Yeah.
But this is not a scotch.
It's not. This is a whiskey.
It's a whiskey.
So no, this guy knocked it out of the park. I mean, what more can you say? It's amazing.
Yeah, this is exceptional.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, and it's a bottle that we'll keep on the shelf.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a bottle everybody should keep on
the
shelf.
Even at that price range, it's different. It's unique. Something I would crave. Like, man, I need to have a hit of this in the future, right?
And you want to impress your friends? It's something nobody else will have.
Absolutely.
And it's phenomenal. It truly is phenomenal.
You blind this, and regardless of namesake or anything, this is going to be exceptional regardless.
Yeah, if you didn't agree. If you gave it to me like, oh, it's a sherried scotch.
I mean,
without the peak. But if you gave it to me blind, I would say, oh, it's a sherry scotch. And then you realize, well, it's not technically a scotch because it wasn't in Scotland. It's in England. But
if I was ignorant of it and you just said, I'm giving you a good whiskey, I would be, wow.
How many Tennessee whiskeys you taste and you're like, that's a bourbon?
Well,
it's a Tennessee whiskey, but it tastes like a freaking bourbon. Let's just throw it out there, right? Yeah. It's semantics. And, well, it's chilled. Is it charcoal filter? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, Lincoln County process. Yeah. Does he say what type of did they ever say what type of still they're using?
Two copper pot stills.
Okay.
So it's copper pot stills. So,
yeah, more on the traditional whiskey side.
Two copper, and it's very small. They say they literally each copper pot still, every maturation that they do, produces a little over one barrel.
Okay.
It's a very small batch release.
Yeah,
love it.
If I read on another website, they only release 9,900 bottles of the sherry every year. So small.
Yeah.
Very small.
So that
tells me if the word gets out there, this price is going to get stupid in the very near future. So maybe you might want to stock up now because when you got less than 10,000 bottles released a year.
That's a good price point for less than 10,000 bottles a year right now. I think it's actually a reasonable price point if you think about how few bottles are releasing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. For a
quality product.
Oh,
yeah. That's what I'm afraid if the – because years ago, Arbor Ramona, you used to get for $69 to $79 bucks. Yeah. Then it was 89, now it's 99, now it's pushing over 100.
Yeah,
because of our podcast, you guys keep talking about it.
The word got out, and everybody loves it. I'm afraid word's going to get on this. And again, when you're making less than 10,000 bottles a year, that price can get stupid quick. So there's a part of me going, you know, maybe I might buy another bottle. I'm just saying.
No, I think you should buy a couple, two, three bottles, because you know this is going to start pushing. It's absolutely.
It's beautiful whiskey.
If people discover it.
As you said, though, they said it's going to change. It's not going to be the same. They're not going for the same flavor profile.
Well, depends on how they're blending their sherries. Because again, one's Oloroso, one's Pedro Ximenez, and they're blended. Each year is a slightly different flavor, but man, this year, freaking awesome. I love it.
Yeah. It's like a first fill.
Kind of is. So enough of that. What are you getting on the final third of cigar, Austin?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, I just hit some more Cotswold.
What are you getting in the final third, Mike?
Oh my God.
I'm still getting the same coffee and nuttiness as before. It's been exceptionally even at the back end. not like some of the sticks that I have over here that at this point it would become bitter and tannic. This is staying high quality even all the way through.
To me, the flavors haven't changed a whole lot into this final third, but everything has softened more and got more just softer. Just more lovely and soft, almost velvety at this point.
I'm starting to get a little bit more just dry cedar on the final third. It's still coffee and nuts. That's your two big flavors.
Yeah, my cedar is totally toned down. So when I just took the sip of the Cotswold, that maple syrup undertone you were talking about has come back, and it's just,
I'm getting a little bit of red. So full disclosure, 2 weeks ago, I had a real sickle that was so dry, it was very hard to pull through, and I was pulling on it very hard for the first third and second third, and I had to drill it out. Final third, it was a red pepper bomb. Now this one, not a red pepper bomb. It has a little hint of red pepper on the final third, but nowhere near what I had just 2 weeks ago.
I got a little bit of that, but I thought I pulled on it three times. I thought it was just getting a little warm on me.
It gets warm, but it's not, you know, when you pull a bad cigar, you pull it hard, it gets bitey and bites your back.
This
just gets peppery.
Yeah, it doesn't get edgy. Absolutely. You're right.
No, it's not edgy. It's just peppery.
Yeah.
You could, like, I can pull it hard and it's a totally different flavor, but it's still nice.
But it's prompting me to push back for a second just to kind of let it cool off.
It's telling you to be gentle.
Yeah.
Let's take a puff, see what the Glenlivet has to say.
If you like pina colada.
Boy, God.
That pineapple, really, the tropical fruits and pineapple really are there. And then it followed to me by graininess, almost like Cheerios.
But remember how in the second third it came back? Mm-hmm. And now in the final third it's being diminished a little bit on me.
To me, it's not as
bad as the first third.
Yeah, to me it's held. From the second third to the final third, it's held. But you're right, that first third, it was
gone.
Like
sugar
I said,
water.
Who put water in?
Now it's diminished back down a little bit, but still there. You could taste tropical fruits. I mean,
I love both whiskeys, but with the stick, I'm really loving the Glen. I'm on an island somewhere.
Really?
Like, there's no problems, man.
It is almost islandy.
There's no problems.
It really is. It, like I said, those tropical fruits, the pineapple and the graininess, it is almost island-esque.
Well, again,
this would be a beautiful summer.
You stole my thunder. Yep. It's Louisiana. Imagine July, you know, August when it's 100 freaking degrees and humid as shit. And like, man, I want a scotch. No, I don't want an Ardbeg, but Glenlivet 12, $40 and a stick.
There you go.
Man, I think this would be nice, like with for a non-Cuban, for people who aren't getting Cubans, like a Perdomo 10-year champagne.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is soft and creamy and light.
Fuente, any Fuente, any light Fuente.
The Connecticut Chateau, the Oliva Connecticut Reserve.
Oh, the Oliva, yes.
With this would be beautiful.
But the Hemingway would be nice. It has a little bit more to it. But
It's a little more nutty and woody.
But it would be great with this.
Yeah.
Any one of those.
Absolutely. I think most of the Padrones would be a little heavy for this, in
Old
my opinion.
Old Mex would probably be heavy, too.
Yeah, except maybe the
High Clear Castle?
No, on the Padrone. Damaso. Thank you. Yeah. Damaso. It's still a little on the heavier
side. The problem is every time we do a Damaso, we get the big stick, and that would be a little too much for us. If you get the small, short Robusto Damaso, it'd be lovely. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's my favorite.
Exactly. All right. Then a High Clear Castle. That was a good call. I actually think the Connecticut High Clear Castle would be really nice with this, too.
All right. So enough of that. Let's do it with the Cotswold. Oh, man. Tannin's back. It's still mouthfeel, oily, coating. But tannin is back.
But that little slight maple syrupness is really it's amazing.
It's still stone fruits, but the sherry's quelled there, but quelled. To me, on my palate, oak tannin is back, and it's almost like a French limousin oak. It's almost like a Cabernet oak.
Yeah, that
dry,
that real dry,
dry tannic oak.
See, I'm not getting that. Honestly, to me, it's still just
it's
sweet,
a little bit.
Syrupy.
It's not like it was at the beginning for me. It's there. You're not wrong. But it's not in your face. It's not overpowering the stick.
Oh, no, none. No, it's
beautiful. We're never wrong in this because everybody's palate's different.
Yeah.
So, no, Mike, you're wrong. Austin, you're wrong.
I'm right. You're both wrong.
It won't be the last time. But for me, though, I mean, it's there, but it's not, you know, you get the, it's not... It's not bitter. It's not caustic.
No,
It's just adding to the character. And it's almost spicy.
Yes. Yeah, when I say that, I'm not saying it in a disparaging way.
No.
It's a nice, good, Cabernet wine tannin. It's a good tannin. It's not a put off tannin.
Yeah.
It's damn yummy. And it changed all for each third of cigar. It did change that spirit a little bit, but all for a good way.
Yeah.
Different way, but in a good way.
It's definitely a journey.
Man. Don't buy a Cotswold. It sucks. Because it's more for me at a decent price.
That's so bad.
Cotswolds, you don't. Awful. English single malt. Come on. Really? Seriously? Nah, it's crap.
Hey, once again, check it when you're on any whatever podcast site you're on. Please like us. Give us 5 stars. Give us some reviews. That helps us out. And we really love you guys. We appreciate everything you guys do for us. So,
and spread the word.
Absolutely.
We can buy more Cotswold.
As we say, Mike.
Mike, take us home.
Drink more whiskey.
Smoke some more cigars.
And enjoy life.
Oh, I'm persistent. I am insistent.
I'm in a continual, permanent, protracted, unending mood.